You guys are doing well today. We're going to continue our series called Putting Money in Its Place. And the reason we're doing this series is because this is a big deal to God. And it's not something we've talked about historically a lot at the Rio. And so it seems like it's healthy to talk about it once in a while. And the first week, we started off talking about just how it's easy to trust money in our lives, to trust that money will help us if we get sick or help us to be popular or help provide for us in the future. And it's obviously okay to use money, but we want to trust God and then use money as a resource. And then Dove, I haven't actually heard Dove's message from last week, but I think it related to just using money well in terms of debt and things like that. This week, what we want to look at is just how money is a good resource. It's not something to trust, but to realize it's just a good resource that we can use to do a lot of different things. And so what we're going to look at this morning is seven purposes for the money with which God has entrusted us. And look at some different uses of money so that we're not having just kind of out of balance focus on just one area, namely, I guess, ourselves would be the concern there. But that we're using money in the way that God would want us to use it. And so let's pray and we'll jump into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time here. Thank you for your word and just all the instruction that it gives related to finances. And just even thinking about the Heart of Worship song and just how faith is just such a part of what we have to offer. We don't have much, but our faith, and our faith is limited at that. But what a great way to exhibit our trust in our faith in you through the use of our money. And so I pray, God, you would help us just to see what you would have for us in this area, and that we would use the money that you've entrusted to us in a way that brings you honor and glory and that serves the purposes for which you've given it. And so we ask that you would move here today in our hearts and that you would help us to remember these things as we go through life. We would have a good perspective on money, that we wouldn't fear it or feel bad when we are buying things or even buying things for ourselves, but we would understand that it's a good resource to accomplish good in a lot of different areas. So we pray that you bless this time here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. So we'll jump right into it. The first purpose is to return the first and the best to him. We'll look at more on this next week. Numbers 18:29, God says, you must present as the Lord's portion the best and holiest part of everything given to you. I don't think this is probably the best verse on giving, but we'll have some better ones next week. I guess the one thing this verse pulls out a little bit is the Lord's portion. I like that idea of just there's a portion that's mine that I get to keep, and then there's a portion that goes back to God. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And I think there's something we do with our money as we give to God. It's honoring to him. It's saying, God, thanks for providing for me. If it wasn't for you, what would I have? And just giving back to him is a great way to honor. And so the second purpose we want to think about is just providing for your family. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Super strong verse, perhaps one of the stronger verses in the Bible, maybe in the top 10. And he just really has a heart that we would use the money he's given us as a resource to bless our family. And the old NIV said, especially for their immediate household. And this one says, for their own household. And I think there's this idea of God has entrusted us with certain things and given us responsibilities, and we need to be faithful with those responsibilities first. And so probably our first responsibility would be, you know, a husband to his spouse and to kids and perhaps to parents. And then there's some kind of a family, it seems like, that extends beyond that to our relatives. I don't know how far you want to take that, but maybe to siblings and nieces and nephews. And not that we're always responsible in all those situations, but just to think through, there's a little more responsibility that I would have for my relatives than just for somebody else because God's put them in my circle. And the tighter that circle is, the more responsibility I should feel. And so we have this responsibility. Some of this might tie into things from last week, but I think as part of that responsibility would be responsibility to, you know, pay our bills, responsibility to save for emergencies, perhaps a responsibility to provide for the future, and even retirement might fit into this category. Another thing I would throw in here, and again, this probably related more to last week, would just be debt, that we have a responsibility to pay back the people who we've borrowed money from, that's part of providing for ourselves is paying back the people that we've borrowed from to provide for ourselves. And I think of a story, and I don't remember the details on this exactly, but there was a guy who came to our church once, and he had some really high student loans, really high for him anyways, $30,000 or whatever. And he had figured out some way that he didn't have to pay them back. And it was something like, if you don't pay anything towards those loans for 15 years, you don't have to pay them back. But the catch was, like, you couldn't make too much money, or they would take some of that out of your paycheck, and then they would make a payment toward the student loan, and then that would start over the clock, right? And so his goal was basically not to do any work for 15 years so that he wouldn't have to pay his student loans. And it's interesting, the Bible talks about that. It has a word for that. It's called stealing. So we just, you know, we want to be honoring with our money. Like, man, when we borrow from someone, we pay it back. When we owe taxes, we pay our taxes, things like that. I think that's part of our provision. Another purpose is to meet the needs of God's people. Romans 12:13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. In this verse, I admit I have misused at times because it's a great verse for little kids about sharing. Hey, you need to share your toys because the Bible says to share. But when we look at the context just a little more closely, it's like, share with the Lord's people who are in need. It's talking about needy people in the church and that we should share with them, that we would help out other people in our church family who are struggling. 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, talking about a Christian brother or sister, not your biological brother or sister, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Again, super strong verse. I mean, it's like saying, hey, if you're in your church family and you see a Christian brother or sister and they have need and you don't take pity on them and help them out in some way, are you even a Christian? That's what it seems like it's saying to me. It's almost as strong as the family verse about it's worse than an unbeliever. And so I think for us to realize that there's this responsibility we have, and that's hard for us, right? Because a lot of times when people are in need, we're like, well, if you would have planned better for this, you wouldn't have this need. If you had lived your life differently, you wouldn't be in this spot. And I've lived my life well. I have lots of money, so your problem is not my problem. It's just really easy to think that way. At least I know I can. And to realize that actually one of God's desires for money as a resource is that we would help each other. And raise your hand, have you ever been helped by someone else in the church financially? It's been a blessing. Well, a whole bunch of us, right? And hopefully we've also helped others and maybe done so in secret and no one even knows what we've done. And that's great. We've benefited from that and we get to bless others through that. And that's part of God's plan. It's a healthy use of our financial resources. Another purpose is to use our money to bring others to Jesus Christ. It's a really interesting verse in Luke 16:9. Jesus says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Use money to gain friends for yourselves. It's kind of interesting to think about what's that look like. I can give a negative example, and I know I've used this example before because it's one of my pet peeves, but I used to work as a server at a restaurant, and all my other coworkers, the other servers, didn't like to work Sunday afternoons because the church crowd came in and then tipped poorly. And I was kind of embarrassed, like, oh man, I'm a Christian. And these other Christians are like making God look bad. And I suppose I was probably bothered personally too, like they're making me look bad. So what's going on there? Well, I think from my background, I put a word to it, or two words, good stewards. Like we're supposed to be good stewards of our money. And I think what that means to Christians is that I'm supposed to keep my money for myself as often as I can and not like give it away to people, not be generous with it, but I need to provide for my retirement. And that's being a good steward. And I think that's where we need to understand that this use of money is bigger than me and bigger than my family. That God has given us money for a number of different reasons, to return to Him, to help people in need, help people in the church, to provide for my relatives. And there are a number of ways that we can bless people through money. One of them is in our witness to other people and being generous in that. And so I feel like sometimes people are bringing a mark or putting a mark on the name of God for the sake of saving a couple bucks for their own retirement. And so just to realize, no, our money can be used to bless people and to win favor. So some other ways you could do that would be to just invite your neighbor out for a meal. That would be a way of winning favor with the lost. I have some friends who, years ago, they went to a Wendy's or someplace, and they spent like $300 and just went up to the cash register and said, hey, we want to pay for the meals, for everyone's meal, for the next $300 worth of meals. And then they just went and sat down. And so they would give people free meals, and they'd say, oh, well, those people over there already paid for your meal. And then people would come over, and they'd say, hey, we just want to say God loves you and have a great day, or something like that. But they were just using their money as a way to win favor and to impact people's lives. Another thing you could do just real directly would be to support missionaries. That's a way to use your money to help bring other people to Jesus Christ. Another purpose is to share it with our spiritual leaders. Galatians 6:6 says, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. And on this point, I guess I would differentiate this a little bit from the first point. The first point was to give to God. And as we give to God, historically, that money that is given to God has been used to support the temple. And I think in the New Testament would be used to support the church and its leaders. And so I would separate this point a little bit from that. And just think about, are there other people who have blessed you spiritually who you could bless financially? So you might think through things like Mike Caleb, or maybe a ministry, a prison ministry, or a college ministry, or someone who has blessed you and taught you, and it's appropriate to give back to them and to bless them in return. Maybe there's a musician who's really meant a lot to you, and maybe instead of stealing their music, you could actually buy their music. It would be a novel idea, which we don't, that's not such an issue anymore, is it, with Spotify and things, but 5 or 10 years ago, that was a common issue. Just to have that heart of, God's given me this money as a resource that I can bless people and bless people who've blessed me. The sixth purpose is to share it with the poor and needy. Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they've done. And this verse makes me think of that section, I think it's Matthew 25, where Jesus is talking about inviting people into heaven and saying, hey, you know, all you people who, you know, saw me when I was naked and you clothed me, and I was hungry and you fed me, and I was in prison and you visited me, you know, come on into heaven. And they're kind of looking around like, who, us? Like, I don't remember doing that. He's like, well, whenever you did that for one of my people, you did that for me. And just that heart of God really cares about people. And when we bless other people, that's a blessing to God. I think sometimes this is a little bit of a hard area, again, because sometimes when people are poor, you kind of feel like, they've set their own course and they've ended up in this spot. The other reason I think is hard is because a lot of times when you have this opportunity to give to the poor, it's because someone is standing on the street corner and they're begging for money, or maybe they're coming to you when you're going to your car outside of Walmart or something like that. So you're put into this situation, it's like, I don't know what to do here. And I think about the golden rule, do to others as you would have them do to you, from Matthew 7:12. And in that situation, that's hard, right? Because there's this element of you could give them money and that could be a real blessing to their life. Or you could give them money and that could be real enabling. And they could use that money to go buy drugs or alcohol or something. And you don't really know the situation when someone comes up to you. And so I guess I would just be careful with that, not feel like you always have to give to every poor person. And I think to be led by the Spirit in that there might be situations where, normally I wouldn't give, but in this situation, just seems like God wants me to. And then the other thing I would think about is maybe thinking about people who God has put in your life. Not someone who has injected themselves into your life, but like if you have a neighbor who's in need and you know about it and you can take them a meal or buy them groceries or help them out in some way, I guess I would feel more like that's a person who God has put in your life than someone who just talks to everybody at Walmart or something. And so I think that's good to think through. And big picture again, just to remember that God has given us money for a lot of different purposes as a good resource to bless a lot of different people. Poor people, needy people in our church, our family, to bless all kinds of people in need, to give back to Him. But one of the people who benefits from our resources that we have is us. And that's okay. That's okay. Acts 14:17 says, God has not left Himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. I just like this verse. It just kind of captures this idea of God's been blessing you, and that we can stop and recognize that. And He's provided us with food and not just bread and water, but He's actually blessed us with good things. In this verse we've looked at several times, but 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And I like this verse because it has that balance of, you know, not hoarding for ourselves, not putting our hope in wealth, but also realizing that God has given to us richly and provided for us, not just for our nourishment, not just taking care of our bare bones basic needs, but even for our enjoyment. And so I think there's this element of our finances where people can go to an extreme of like, I can't go out to eat. I can't buy anything for myself. I can't buy anything above the bare necessities, or I'm sinning against God. I'm being extravagant. And I think there's a balance, so we want to kind of weigh that out. But I also think there's a freedom there of where we can enjoy the blessings of God. Sometimes on Sunday mornings, I'll come into the church and I'll practice my message. And so last week, before I gave this message on the other side, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, I have always wanted a buffalo nickel. And there is nothing wrong with me buying a buffalo nickel, right? There's freedom, even though it's completely silly. It's something I could do because God wants to bless. And so anyway, long story short, I have a buffalo nickel now. And that's okay. You know, and I guess I could have given it that money to starving children in Africa or something. But I think there's this level of like, if we're faithful with these other six purposes, then there's also this freedom to use the resources that God has given us to enjoy and to be blessed by what God has given us. So, big picture then, to remember that money is a good resource to bless a lot of people, to return back to God, and that part of that blessing also can fall back on us without us having to feel guilty about that. Three reasons to be faithful with our finances. One is just the blessing of God. This is a really cool verse out of Isaiah 55, verse 1. God says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat." And when I first read this verse, I had to like reread it a couple times. You just said they had no money. How can they buy and eat? "Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend your money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare." And I guess I just get this picture from this verse of God inviting people like come and enjoy. Come and enjoy from me. And I think sometimes when our hope and our trust is in money, we're always trying to look to money like, you know, okay, provide for me, take care of me. And if we can let go of that and we can look to God, then we can actually find not just provision for our lives, but way more than that, a love relationship with someone who cares deeply about us. John 4:32, this is in the incident when Jesus has been talking to the woman at the well, and she has gone off to invite the town folk back to meet Jesus, and his disciples have come back, and they're trying to get him to eat something. And he says to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him a sandwich? Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And so Jesus is in this moment, right, where he has been having this spiritual conversation with this woman, and really cool things are happening in her heart. I think she probably became a Christian in that conversation. And this amazing thing's going on, and she heads off, and he's sitting there, and they're like, "Hey, Jesus, we brought food." And he's like, "Man, I'm not in that spot right now. I'm doing just fine." And there was something nourishing about doing God's work that was exciting and fun, and it wasn't just about having this particular need met. And I think there's this beauty in our relationship with him, this blessing when we're putting him first instead of our money or instead of other things. The second reason to be faithful is the justice of God. Luke 16:1 says, Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be my manager any longer." And there's this element of when we've been entrusted with something that there needs to be some kind of faithfulness in the way that we handle that thing. And this passage goes down through a bunch of good verses on finances. But in verse 10, there's an interesting verse. It says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Okay, who can entrust us with true riches? Well, it seems like that who there would be God. So if we've not been faithful in handling worldly wealth, will God trust us with true riches? Like, I don't know, people's souls, building into people, a fruitful life. I don't know exactly what he's referring to in true riches, but there's some kind of a blessing there. He's like, man, there's this accounting. If you're faithful with what I've given you, then I can entrust you with big things, things that really count, that really matter. But we've got to be faithful with the little things before he entrusts us with the big things. James 5:1 says, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that's coming on you. Your wealth is rotted, moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Or I think other translations will say, you've condemned and murdered the innocent who were not opposing you. Not necessarily talking about Jesus there. So, I don't know, it talks about living our life in luxury and hoarding wealth in the last days. And I think to realize that there is a danger when we take money and we make it something like, oh, this is the thing that's going to provide for me. It's all for me. And it's not like it's wrong to have wealth or to save, but when we're like hoarding just for ourselves, then we've lost sight of these seven different uses of money. And we're not using it as God intended, but we're just using it for ourselves instead of a good resource that can be used to bless a lot of different people. And these people are hoarding wealth to a degree that evidently they're even cheating other people. It's become so important to them, so much of an idol in their lives. And so God seems like he's kind of disgusted with that. And he wants them to live differently as a result. The third reason is the kingdom of God. We've already looked at this verse. It says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. And it's a little hard for me to know exactly how the first part of the verse and the second part relate. Like we're gaining friends for ourselves through giving out money. That part makes sense, right? We can bless people with money and that wins favor. That makes sense. So that when it's gone, that you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. I don't know if that's talking about people who got saved because we use our money to reach out. And so like they're up in heaven and we show up in heaven, they're like, woo, you're welcomed. You know, it's so good to see you. If it wasn't for what you did with your money, I don't know if I'd be here. Or maybe it's a response of Jesus or of God, kind of similar, like, hey, you're here. Great, you blessed so many people with your resources. I don't know exactly what's going on there, but something eternal is going on, right? You will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So the way that our money was used here is having some kind of impact in eternity. Matthew 6:19, Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And there's something here where Jesus is encouraging us to live our lives in such a way that we're building up some kind of treasure in eternity, a treasure in heaven. We're doing things here that impact there. And the first part seems to tie that into our earthly treasure. It's like, hey, don't get all caught up in your earthly treasure. Don't make that the big deal. Use your money as a resource, but don't worship it. Don't get consumed in amassing a lot of money for yourself. Remember, your true hope is in the next life, not in this life. And so that's another reason to be faithful, is just because it makes a difference in the kingdom of God, possibly for other people and for us as well. And so, big picture, it's just really simple. I think to realize that money's a good resource, and that's it. It's a resource that can be used to give back to God, to bless other people, to receive blessing from God, but it's not something that we want to pour our lives into the pursuit of money. So let's pray. God, we just thank you for this time here. Thank you for all that different instruction in your word that helps us understand money and its use. And I pray, God, you would just protect us. God, help us to have a heart that's fully devoted to you. And we live in such a wealthy age, God, it's really hard to know how to use our money well. And it's hard to not just make it all about ourselves when that's what most people are doing. And it's really easy to just kind of play along with that game. And so I pray, God, you would help us. Help us just even as we spend money, even in the next few weeks and months, just to think about, you know, is this what I want to do? Is this how I want to spend the money that God has entrusted to me? And so we just thank you for this time here, and thank you for your instruction, and thank you for loving us, God, that we can respond to you and respond to what you've done. And so we just pray all this in Jesus' name.